Hello, welcome to Restoration. This podcast features Craig Hearn of Burning Hope Ministries. Craig is a musical evangelist, and his story is a story of grace and forgiveness. Thanks for joining us.
Well, I just want to say it's a real pleasure to be here. It's good to see everyone. It's good to be someplace other than some of the places that I've been before and that most of us have been. And you know, those places are always different for each and every one of us. But as Dave said, my name's Craig, and I am a believer in Jesus Christ, and I was saved by the glory of the Lamb. And in my past, I've struggled with perfectionism and the lack of forgiveness and all the issues that just well up inside of all of that. But the one thing that I have to say to the glory of God is that I'm free from that. I'm free because He set me free, because I trusted in Him. And if you're here today and you're not sure just exactly how freedom feels, well, it starts one step at a time, one trusting step at a time. And if you don't know Jesus, that's where it begins. It begins at the cross. See, there's a most amazing thing, and as I began to consider how I would share my testimony with everyone tonight, the one thing that came out of this, I think we have to, sometimes we forget as we go through life, and we just kind of got to go back to the beginning again. You know, in Genesis 1:27, it said God created man in His own image. A little later on, in verse 31 of chapter 1, He said God called us very good. And then a little later on, which is interesting to me, in the fourth chapter, verse 4, it says, "The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering He did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast." But see, amazingly, the Lord goes to Cain and says, "Cain, why are you so angry? Why is your face so downcast? I mean, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted?" That's a mouthful. It's a mouthful for a lot of us. He says, but if you do not do what is right, then sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you. But this is the key part. But you must master it. And you know, I've read those verses time and time and time again. And it's amazing to me how God tells us. Now, He'll save us from our sin, but He gives us the authority to master, to be a master over the sin that takes us down. Of course, if you know that story, then you know Cain did not listen, and he went on to do what he had already determined to do, and that was kill his brother Abel. But the more I thought about this, this is where recovery began, right then and there. It started actually right in the Garden of Eden, but then even right outside the doors of the garden, the very firstborn are already dealing with issues that are just going to stem and continue to move on and on and on. But I believe that if you trust in somebody other than yourself, as I did, then you have the power and you have the authority and the ability to master sin. And therein comes healthy recovery. See, I was saved when I was about 11 years old. But shortly following that, my mom stopped taking us to church. And at that age, I wasn't bugging anybody on Sunday morning to get up and go to church. But sadly, for the next 31 years of my life, I just barely every now and then went to church, but stayed far away from the Lord. But I knew if I died, I knew I was going to heaven. That I did know. But this one who I proclaimed as my Savior, I really didn't understand who He really was and all that He really wanted to be in my life. So I went on up through college. I went to the University of Texas in Austin. I majored in music. And after college, I really desired to pursue a career in music, but I didn't. Got a regular job and various things throughout the years and played music off and on. And then there was a point in time where I actually quit playing music for 8 years. And, you know, it's strange to me how what happens when you depart from some of the things that God actually gives you and that he intends for you, the purposes and the plans that he has. What happens is that the world or your flesh or something just fills that right back in with something else. So when I put all the music aside, well, then I became a workaholic. Because, see, those tendencies to lean towards everything being in order and everything being perfect, you know, I had to control it. And the whole time, the more as my life kept going on through my 20s and then my 30s, I started realizing that I'm not sure I've got control out of anything. So all I do is I try to control everything a little bit more. And, you know, all the way through my life, I was what I felt like a pretty good person. And, you know, it only took until 12 years ago to look back and realize just how absolutely horrible of a person I really was. Not so much because I was necessarily mean to everyone all the time, but because of the fact that I did not really recognize who it was that saved me. And my life was spinning in this kind of out of control fashion, thinking that I knew what was taking place. But it was until I was 42 years old before literally the bottom fell out of everything. And I looked back, and all I could see was bitterness and brokenness and a trail of hurts and broken relationships. But the strange part about it is that God never departed from me. And I can't really understand that, and I can't explain it, but I praise him for that. See, I can look back, and I can see that all the way through my adult life, that at those worst moments of my life, when another relationship would break up, that there was God, and he was there with his hand out to me. And yet, I would take his hand, he would lift me up, dust me off, and I know he was saying, oh, okay, he's going to come. He's going to follow me. What I do is just like a lot of people, man, I'm glad I feel better. And then I go right back to doing what I did before. Anybody been there? I'm sure you have. And you know, I tried telling this to somebody one time and they didn't understand it because I don't think I knew how to explain it all that well. But I was insane. Literally, I was insane. Because see, I kept going back doing the same kinds of things over and over and over again, expecting something new out of it. The only thing new about it was just another new sin or another new problem, but it was all the same mess. Nothing was getting healed. Nothing was coming, you know, to any kind of level of growth. But at this point, after all of these years, I was at this point where, at this job that I had, that I was contemplating how people were leaving the company. Nobody even thought about them after 2 weeks after. If you've ever gone through a reorg in your company, then typically people that you've seen for 20 years or 15 years or 10 years, now they're gone. And 2 weeks later, you don't even hear their name anymore. And I was thinking to myself, kind of a pity party, thinking, you know, I'm going to die in this company. And my life's not going to make any difference for anybody or anything. And how could I have missed it so bad? How could I have missed the fact that my life was supposed to count for something? At this point in my life, you know, I probably had the best job, the best paying job, the best car, the best house. I had the best of all that I'd probably ever had in all the mess that I'd been in up to that point in time. And then one day I'm sitting in my office. I get this phone call from a lady that I'd worked with about 4 years earlier. And she was in another office on complete other side of town. And she says, hey, I got a message for you. And I said, well, why is people calling you over there? I mean, they know I've been over here for like 6 years, 7 years. She goes, well, it's not that kind of message. Well, that kind of perked my interest a little bit. And I said, well, okay, what is it? She said, it was a message from God. Anybody ever had one of those? Kind of sets you back a little bit, but then you think, okay, there's a joke behind this someplace. I mean, I really kind of thought maybe she's kind of lost her mind a little bit, you know. So finally I said, okay, well, I'll bite. Tell me, what is God telling you? Well, he told me to tell you that you're going to be involved in a music ministry. Well, I said, you know, come on. I don't hardly ever pray. I don't go to church. Now, mind you, she didn't know this, but at that time in my life, there was all kinds of sin in my life, and I knew it. And I said, I can't even, it's hard for me to understand why God would tell. I said, why did God tell you that? She goes, I don't know. He does that. I write it down, and on the day he tells me to call somebody, I call him. So I'm just telling you, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you what I was told to tell you. So I said, okay. And I got off the phone. But see, I look back on that moment. Because see, in 3 months from that day, my whole life came apart. Everything fell apart. And I know what that was. Because if you read much of the Bible, you see that God always comes and tries to bring us and tries to protect us. And he's faithful to his children. He is very faithful to us. So that's why I said earlier, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you gotta give your life to him. Because you'll never find any greater protection than that. But here I was, and my life's going out of, you know, and I'm thinking, what was that? I mean, at this moment in time, I'm not even thinking about what she said, but I'm sitting in a room here in the Woodlands. And I've been there for about a week, and my life's being out of control. I've got things that I know are coming forward that are just going to be horrible, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't even know who to really talk to. And so I'm sitting in this bed, and I pray to God. I say, Lord, you're going to have to show me a reason for tomorrow because I've run out of them. Now, I had been low in places before, but I'd never been there. Never to the point, seriously, that I would have considered taking my life. And I was at that point. I'd run out of reasons for why I should keep on living. All I seem to do is mess my life up and mess everybody else's life that comes along with me. But this is the God that loves you. 30 minutes after I prayed this prayer to a God that I didn't even expect to hear me, I get a phone call from my son, who was 18 at the time. Him and I had been on the outs for over 6 months. Hadn't talked to him, didn't even know where he was at. And he calls me, he says, Dad, I don't know why you're over there or what's going on, but you hang on, I love you, I'll see you tomorrow. Go figure. And then what happened? After that, immediately I started thinking about my 13-year-old daughter. And that made me think about my little girl, Shelby, who's now just turned 14, and she was barely a year and a couple of months old back then. So see, in just a matter of minutes, God said, okay, here's three really good reasons why you need to keep living. And often I look at that because, see, my daughter, Shelby, has not spent hardly any days of her life outside the church. She's never known this father that was out there. She's had a godly father who's raised her up in the ways of the Lord, who has taught her the word of God and set an example for her. But you know what? I couldn't do that. There's no way I could do that. Only God can do those kinds of things. And see, I'd like to tell you that at that moment when I started figuring out how God really was doing something in my life, that everything got better. Well, everything really just spun more and more and more out of control. But for the first time in my life ever, I really knew that I wasn't walking down this path by myself. And see, I know tonight that there's somebody here that feels all alone. You may be in a room of people, but you feel all alone. You feel like you don't have the answers. You feel like you don't know exactly what the next step to take is. And, you know, and I got to tell you, I didn't either. But I know that God did. And I trusted him just enough. I had just enough faith. You talk about a mustard seed. If there's anything smaller, that's probably about what I had. But I can tell you that was enough. That's all it took. And one day at a time, sometimes even second by second, I'd crawl into his word because that was the only place that I could find peace. That was the only place that I could find this overwhelming love. And oh, I knew who I was. I knew I was evil. And yet this God, he loves me. All this time I kept seeing this unmerited loving grace just poured out on me more and more. But there were so many times that I still questioned what was going on and where I was headed. Psalm 40 is a scripture that really has always meant a lot to me, and I believe it's got something for somebody right here now. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. As I began to read these words, even in my despair, I had this odd feeling that I was blessed. And you know, when you read God's word enough and you keep reading it, he reminds you of the things you have to be blessed about. And see, there was, and I told this to somebody the other day, and they looked at me like I was a complete idiot. But there was a point in time back during this mess that I actually said, Lord, why couldn't I have been a drug addict? Why couldn't I have been an alcoholic? Why couldn't I have, if this is what it took for you to get my attention, why couldn't it be something else? Well, that was obviously not very wise thinking. But see, God has been gracious to me to overlook some of the things that I had said. But along with everything else, after almost 15 years at this company, in the midst of everything, about a year later, I lost this job. But then God, I walked right into another one the next day. And as I just became, I finally had this opportunity, and I'm kind of cutting parts out because it's very long, but by the grace of God, I met a woman that was a member, a friend of mine's mother, and I said something to her one day in passing about, I need to get back to church. And this woman lit up like a Roman candle and told me where to be, and you come sit with me, honey. And she said, you know, I'll sit right here. I don't think you're having trouble missing. Well, I wouldn't miss her because she had a big old red beehive hair that stood towering above the rest of the congregation when I walked in. But she was such a loving person in my life that it didn't matter where I came from. It just mattered that I was coming. And so she loved on me. And through that, I met the associate pastor at this church, and he became a mentor and a friend, and I began to share my life and my struggles and all the junk that had gone on. And lo and behold, he says, there's this little church up in Trinity, Texas that is getting ready to have their first revival. He said, how would you like to come play your sax for the Lord? I've never done that before. I was still playing in the bars at the time. And so I said, yeah, I went. And what was interesting about this church is their outreach, unlike the other churches there, was to the drug addicts, the alcoholics, the prostitutes, the ex-cons, the down and out, pretty much the ones that Jesus would be out there talking to. And I tell you, I felt right at home when I got there. But God did something that day, those 4 days there. God began to move in my heart, and I didn't understand it all. But again, with a bunch of strangers, I began to experience God's love. People just pouring their love out of me. They had their own problems, and yet they just poured their love out on me. Well, the problems, like I said, I was still in the midst of, and ended up serving 10 years probation. I never understood when I read the Old Testament about living under the law. But I can tell you, if there's anybody in here that's ever either been in jail or served any probation whatsoever, then you understand what it's like to live by someone else's rules, someone else's laws, someone else's this, that, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Now, I'm not bitter about that. It could have been a whole lot worse, and only but for the grace of God, it wasn't worse. But a year and a half ago, I completed my 10 years of probation, and my life has never slowed down. Even through that. See, because we think sometimes that our circumstances is what's holding us back, when really what it is we're not looking at the solution that's right there the whole time, and his name's Jesus. Because see, when Paul was in prison, Jesus was there. Every time the disciples were anywhere where they were struggling, trying to understand who is this guy doing miracles, Jesus was there. Right up to the moment that he left, died, resurrected, and then came back. But see, all this time, God was teaching me about forgiveness. And I had a ton of people in my life that I had never forgiven. And I remember that day in church when all of a sudden the light went off and I felt like 1 billion pounds were lifted off of my shoulders when I said, Lord, help me forgive them and this person and that person and that person. And man, it felt good until the next morning. And then I realized that I don't know how to forgive me for what I've done. And so I struggled with that for a while. And I imagine there's some of you that probably struggle with that a little bit too. But this is what the Lord reminded me. He said, if I could send my son, and he willingly came and was willing to die on a cross to forgive you, then why can't you forgive you? And I don't know, but when he said that, my heart changed. And it was just yet more and more and more. So fast forwarding a little bit more, November 21st comes along of 2001, and I had been at a revival up in West Texas. And on the way back, completely a surprise to me, the Lord called me into the ministry. Now, I was very young in the church at that point. I didn't know what that really meant. I just thought that meant playing my saxophone at different churches. That was about what I'd been exposed to up to that point in time. It's a good thing he didn't tell me all the rest of the stuff. It's a good thing he didn't tell me that about 10 years later, about 4 or 5 years later, you're going to be standing in front of about 100 people at Celebrate Recovery telling them all about your junk. Because I probably would have said, I don't know about that. But he continued to open these doors of ministry opportunities. In 2003, God blessed me with my precious wife. And boy, if there's ever somebody that did not deserve a woman as good as she is, it was me. But I just thank God that he showed his favor upon me for that. 2004, Burning Hope Ministries is the name of my ministry. That was the name of the church that was in Trinity. So, and here again, when I took on that name, I still didn't really know what the ministry was ultimately going to be about. But in 2004, we became a nonprofit charitable organization. And the ministry outreach is funny enough, as this should happen, that the places that God has taken me the most in the last, since 2002, actually, has been to places like Star of Hope, to Salvation Army, to other homeless shelters. Sean can testify. There's a place called Church in the Park down near Memorial at Palmer Episcopal every Saturday morning that we go down there and we minister, have church service for 65 to 100 homeless folks, and we feed them and mainly give them the Word of God, give them hope, hopefully. But see, God did all of those things, and then he created opportunities for me to travel to in missions and evangelism to places like Aruba. And, I know that's a hard one. So I just go ahead and throw that out there. I knew somebody was thinking that. But, you know, but I did check this just to make sure there's lost people in Aruba. Do you know that? But I've gone to Mexico and Latvia and Romania and Hong Kong. And, you know, up until the time that I began to serve God, I might have been out of the United States one time in my whole life. And yet God's plans were so much grander, so much bigger than mine. And it all came because I started realizing that I can't do it myself, that I had to realize that I was powerless over my abilities, over my obsessive compulsive behaviors, over my unforgiveness, over all the junk, all the sin. I had to realize finally that I cannot and shall not ever do it by myself. Oh, but he can. See, my road to recovery began a little different. I didn't go to AA. I didn't go to Celebrate Recovery. But Celebrate Recovery, God brought me in. What I kind of call it in the sort of the back door. And here again, he really didn't tell me what I was getting involved in. I just knew I needed to go and lead worship. So he created an opportunity for Salvation Army where I led worship one night. And through there, I met the ministry leader for Celebrate Recovery at Lakewood. And she invited me to come to her church. And so for the last 2 years, I've been going to there and also Houston First Baptist. And these are all things that God created. I didn't go searching for any of these. But every time I was there, guess who I met? Anybody got a guess? I met me again. I met me again. Because, see, the worst thing I could ever do is forget from where I came from. But, see, you can't forget. You can't even forget from where you come from unless you stop being there. Does that make sense to you? Because some of us, sometimes we keep going back there. We don't want to let, we don't want to forget, I guess. But the reality is that we need to forget that. And that we need to remember the healing that comes out of it. We just don't need to go back there and do that junk again. But see, God used Celebrate Recovery and from a worship perspective. And then he began to burden my heart. And I started looking and seeing people at my own church. I go to Crossroads down here. And I started realizing that there's a hurting people everywhere. Honestly, it boggles my mind that this place isn't overflowing with people. Because I bet you could put your hand on 10 people without even batting an eye that you know are hurting right now. And for whatever reason, don't want to let anybody know about it. So God began to move again. And as soon as his will is fulfilled and creating the opportunity, I'm sure we're going to have a Celebrate Recovery at Crossroads. And I'm seeing something happen here. You know, there's a growth. There's an explosion that's starting to take place in this community. And rightly so, it should be that God will move in the lives of hurting people because we got them up here. They're not all exclusive to the inner city of Houston. They're right here behind the fancy cars, fancy houses, and lavish jobs that many people have. And it doesn't matter what denomination you are or what church you go to. It doesn't matter. None of that stuff matters. Because they're just hurting people with all kinds of hurts, habits, and hang-ups. But I was blessed. It's hard to believe. I was telling Leroy this today. We were talking about that it's been a year that my wife and I have been connected with the Celebrate Recovery over at First Baptist. And had I not been there, had we not been there, then I would have not met Dave and Craig and Sean and several others over that have come over there. That's the only reason I'm here right now, because otherwise. But see, here again, I didn't expect this. That was God's business. But it's kind of like anything. You got to take that one step and trust that he's going to give you the next step and reveal it to you, even if you don't understand it. And I know that's a hard part when we're trying to heal. I know that's a hard thing when we're trying to get through the junk in our life, because we want answers. Oh, we know all the answers about why we got where we're at. At least we think we do. But the problem is that it's the next step that we have to take. And he's not, just like with me, he didn't reveal everything to me about ministry when he called me. He was just waiting to see if I would take the step. Second Corinthians chapter 1, 3 and 4 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us all in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God." And see, that's exactly where God has taken me in my life, and my wife, and many, many others that God has placed in my life. And he continues to place me around people that are hurting. So sometimes we have to quit looking in the mirror so hard and look to our left or look to our right, maybe look behind us and see who it is that needs a pat on the back. Because see, somebody patted me on the back when I needed that. Someone loved me when I needed to be loved, even though I was unlovable. Someone extended grace to me when most of the world would condemn me, judge me, and probably throw me in jail and throw away the key. But God entered into my life, showed me who he was and how much he loved me. And he set me forth for a day such as today. I'm going to end here in just a second with a song, and thank you again for this opportunity.
That will never know that doesn't have hunger in it. And our restless hearts, they beat so imperfectly. But oh God, when you come, when you fill me with your awe and your wonder, sometimes I believe I have actually glimpsed at eternity.
When I am down and oh my soul so weary, spend a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas.
Jesus, we praise you, O Lord. We bless you, O God, in Jesus' name.